Normally a Sunday like this, that is, come right after what was celebrated as Christmas. Christmas is about the birth of Christ. Easter is about the death and resurrection of Christ. Both those celebrations are man-made. We want you to understand that. Properly, Easter or Christmas, none of those appear in the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible that it speaks of Christmas or Easter. If you read the King James and it mentioned in the book of Acts, the word you see there for Easter is Passover. It's a mistranslation. But we enjoy the spirit that is displayed at this time, especially the emphasis on the coming of Jesus Christ. That's what this time represent. And when Easter come, it's about the death of Jesus Christ. But the Church of Christ all over wants you to understand that those are man-made tradition perpetuated and popularized by Roman Catholicism. Tradition. The Word of God, the Bible, speaks against man-made tradition. God does not want our Christianity, our serving God, our religion to be based on man-made tradition. He wants it to be based on what has been revealed in the gospel. So we want you to be mindful of that. And normally, you have lesson surrounding that like unto thee. In fact, there's one sermon that I have been looking over all week and titled, If It Were Left Up to Me. Very interesting and enlightening lesson. Where as we look, I would look on some things that God left it up to me, I would do it differently. And you will hear that lesson because I had planned to share it today, a lesson, probably not in the same way I usually add or take away when I repeat a lesson. But that very interesting. If it were left up to me, had God given me the right to alter, change, modify some things that he has done or asked for in the Bible, how I would do it. Of course, the bottom line in that lesson is that he didn't leave it up to us. You see. But in that lesson, much is said about the coming of Jesus Christ in the world. And what is interesting about that lesson is some of the people that were associated with the coming of Jesus Christ played pivotal role in Christ's coming. And you know what is interesting about all of that? It's about four women of notorious character that were associated with the coming of Jesus Christ in this world. And why would God want those women to be named in the genealogy of Jesus Christ? And that is interesting. But probably next week, Sunday, or whatever. But now, we look on the lesson, our prayers and the working of God.
May I? Everybody, every man,
every woman who is religious, whether or not that person consider him herself a Christian, everyone prays. Even men and women who do not believe in God, they pray. But there are a lot of things about prayer that people are not mindful of. And even for us Christians, there's a passage in Romans that most every Christian know that passage. But there's a certain consideration in respect to that passage we'll be getting to it, that I wonder how many of us ever turn over in our mind. But let me, yes, prayer. There are things that prayers, or your prayer, my prayer, was not meant to change or to affect. That is, a lot of times we go to God in prayer about things that God did not mean that prayer should have anything to do with that. Secondly, in prayer, there is the will of man and the will of God. In prayer. Wait. When we make requests in prayer, we must always be mindful that what you or I are praying for is usually what we want, what we desire, how we see things. But in many cases, how we see things, what we want, is not in keeping with God's will. Very important. But not only that, thirdly, some prayers unknowingly make requests of God which are not only against God's will, but against God's nature. Brother Mitchell, repeat that, please. I didn't get it.
Some prayers that we words send to God, the contents of that prayer in some prayers are against the will of God and against the very makeup of God, the very constitution of God, the very nature of God. Some prayers.
Are we there? In fact, let us go to one passage. Romans chapter 8 from verse 26. Romans chapter 8 from verse 26. Yes, 26 and 27. Another brother will hold Numbers 22. Let us hear the passage of Romans chapter 8. Wait. Remember the point just made. The third point was that some prayers unknowingly make requests which are not only against the will of God, but they're against the nature of God.
Wait. Before the passage is read, you know what that should tell you? If I am correct, and I know I am correct about prayer, is that effective prayer calls for us knowing God. May I turn that around? The more you and I know God is the more we word prayer that is in keeping with God's will and God's nature. The more you and I know God is the more consistently we will word prayer that is in keeping with his will and his nature. Let us hear now the passage in Romans chapter 8 from verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, help our limitations. Wait. You hear that? We do not know. Notice in the passage, the we is referring to Christians. That's right. For we know not what we should pray for. Wait. Paul wrote the book of Romans through the inspiration or guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, how could this man tell you or me that we do not know what to pray for? In fact, a more modern, correct translation would be, we do not know how to pray and what to pray for. That's right. But I know what I want. You see, prayer is not only about what you want. It involves also what God wants. What he wants for you and what he does not want for you, because he knows it's not good for you. So read, brother.
But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Wait, we need to get this, and it's very important. The Spirit itself, should be himself, make intercession with groaning. Wait. The Holy Spirit, are we all there? Is telling us here that because we are ignorant of God's will and God's nature, we do not know really how to pray and what to pray for. And you know what? In God's graciousness, he permit the Holy Spirit to fix up our prayers. What a good God. Have you ever wondered about the implication of the truth the brother just read? That our prayers need fixing up. What it implies is that because of the holy nature of the Almighty God, you cannot just throw any prayer to him and it will be accepted. It's the holiness of God, among other things that are under consideration here, that the most godly man or woman may word prayer that are either contrary to God's will, because that person probably does not know God's will and does not know how important it is that prayer be worded in keeping with God's will, or the person may not understand God's nature, his holiness, and all of that. So that man or woman say prayer. May I illustrate? It's like You or I, let's say we are 10 years old, 6, 7, 8 years old, and every day we see our aunt, our mother, and others cooking, and one day we just feel that we want to cook and give to our mother or our aunt. And we get around the fire and we start the cooking, but there is an aunt that stood by there and know that if you give it to your mother, is that Maureen? We are glad you are back. Yes. And you give it to your mother, you are cooking to give to your mother, but your aunt knows that you didn't put a little salt in it. And you didn't put a little seasoning in it. So the aunt comes and says, Carl, of course they didn't call me Carl in the country. In Brother Peart. Yes. And said, Carl, let me help you. And your aunt takes the cooking that I as a 10-year-old or an 8-year-old is doing, and they put the right amount of salt. And they put the right amount of seasoning. And when you taste that food, it's a different part. Because your experienced aunt helped you out. Well, that's the same with our prayers. You send it to God the way you want. In your understanding, it does not, it cannot be accepted by God simply because of God's will and God's nature. That's what the passage of Romans is implying. It takes the Holy Spirit to take that prayer. God knows all what is going on, you know. But he would not have accepted it as was given by us. But in God's graciousness, the Holy Spirit is given the permission to fix up our prayer that it can be accepted by God. Read the passage again. Romans chapter 8, verse 6.
Likewise.
Likewise.
The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for.
Again. What an audacity. Talking like me no know where me want. Yes. We must understand our spiritual and moral limitations. Mm-hmm. We do not measure up. In fact, measure up. We are far from God's standard. And our prayers, the way they are to be, they are not always the right way to get to the throne of God. So the Almighty God in his graciousness does what, brother?
But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
When I told you previously that the passage is about the prayer of Christian, you notice that it's the saints. It's the saints he's talking about. Let us look at another passage. Numbers 22, 12 through 13. Quick. Numbers 22, 12 through 13 and 16 following. And God said to Balaam,
thou shalt not go with them.
Thou shalt not go with them.
Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princess, the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. Verse 18.
What verse are you?
That's the end of 13.
Okay, step down to 16 through 22.
And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus said Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me.
Uh-huh.
For I will promote thee unto very great honor.
Yes.
And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people." And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak,
uh-huh.
"If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more."
Step me down to verse 33. What verse is that? 22?
Yes.
You just stop at 22?
Yes.
80. Read a little further than I'd said 16 through 22. So read a little up to 22 for me.
"And Balaam rose up in the morning. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do."
You notice, hold it, Brother Wilson, that when God gave Balaam permission to go with the heathen who wanted Balaam to curse Israel, God's people, the Almighty God on this occasion says, okay, if they come again, go with them, but only say the things that I will tell you to say. What verse are you, Brother Wilson?
No, 21.
Okay, read 21 and 22.
"And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his horse," mm-hmm. "us, and went with the princes of Moab."
Uh-huh.
"And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way," mm-hmm. "for an adversary against him. Now when he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him, and the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and
May I? There are many of us who are well acquainted with this lesson. When the Almighty God, somewhere in verse 21, encouraged Balaam to go, this was because of Balaam's bidding. The Almighty God had previously told Balaam, you must not go, you must not curse Israel. That was God's settled will. You cannot curse my people Israel. But because of the offer of position and material reward that was offered to Balaam, he went to God again as if to force God's hand. The Almighty God going to make sure this time that he understands. When the Almighty God placed the angel in the pathway of the donkey, that was to send a message to Balaam and to remind him, God had already forbidden you from going. In other words, don't go. Wait. Here is it. The word that you're asked to pray as curse, or to express as curse against Israel, God doesn't want you to engage in that. What verse are you, brother?
No, at 23.
Mm-hmm.
"And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way,
mm-hmm.
and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the
way." Ladies and gentlemen, it reached the point. All of this is surrounded a man who was called to curse Israel. that would be done in words, in prayer, or whatever. God didn't want him to do that. The Almighty God had many ways of hindering that prayer or that request. But God chose to use the donkey to send a message to Balaam. Verse 33.
And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive.
The Almighty God would kill Balaam had the horse or the donkey not turned away. What is the point? That there are some, desire, prayer, requests we have that they are against the will of God. And this is a demonstration. Not only that, get this. I have pointed out three things. One, that there is that prayer. In prayer, there is the will of God and the will of man. And thirdly, that some prayers unknowingly make requests which are not only against God's will, but against God's nature. The fourth point is that there is a difference between God working with things and God working with people. I need to explain that. There is a difference between God working with things. With these writers, with the light, with this eraser, with the fan, all those are inanimate objects. They have no life, no sense. There is a difference between God working with those dead objects and God working with human beings. In fact, when God created us, he made us as free will agents. It's important that we understand that. The Almighty God made us that we can go against his will. We can hear what God wants us to know of his will, and we make a decision that we are not going to do what God wants us to do. We're going to do what I want to do. That's the way God made us. That's how great God is, that he made us that we can offend him. That's right. That we can offend, yes. Your ability, my ability, in exercising our freedom of choice, and in so many cases, it is exercised against what God wants. That's God who made us like that. And you know what? God wouldn't have us any other way. Why, Brother Mitchell? Because we would only be God's robots. And a robot is a dead instrument that you touch it, a certain button, and it goes that way because that's the way you want it to go. You touch another button and it goes that way because that's the way you want it to go. God didn't want human beings to be robots. If and when you made a decision to serve God, the Almighty God wants that decision to be what you want.
not only because God wants it, but that you have seen the wisdom in wanting to cast your lot with God. He has made us free will agent, even to the extent of resisting God's will. This human will it enhances or it hinders effective prayer. Brother Mitchell, I'm not sure I understand that. That thing, wonderful privilege God gives us, that you can make a decision to turn your life over to God and to serve Him. Or you can make a decision that, well, me not ready yet, you know, me not ready yet to become a Christian. And what you're waiting on until you're 100, you can hardly walk, you can hardly talk. But the body is weak, it cannot take pleasure in sin anymore, the sinful things of the world. And since you cannot enjoy the pleasures of sin anymore, You decided that what left, you will give it to God. That's why many people don't become a Christian when they are healthy and strong and have all their senses here. They are waited until they have exhausted sinful and godly living. You know what? The Almighty God is so good and gracious that He allowed that in many cases. Wait, I have some news for you. But we must remember that there are consequences. Whenever we serve sin and die in sin, there are consequences. But I'm back with the business of helping us to understand that human will, it enhances or it hinders prayer. Lot of times it's because of what we want, wait, or don't want, that create problems for us on our prayer. Because a lot of time what we want is not what God wants. Let me explain. There are men and women who ignorantly go to God in prayer for them to win the pig tree. Are we all there? Isn't there some other form of gambling? Yes, there are men and women who they don't understand the sinfulness of gambling. And they'll go bend down on their knee and pray to God, not realizing that what you are praying for, it's not only against God's will, it's against God's very nature. But it's ignorance of God and His will. And this is why I'm saying that human will, that ability the Almighty gives us to choose, to make choices of our own, what we want, that ability given by God, it either hinders prayer or it enhances prayer. God works with human wants, likes and inclination. Brother Mitchell, please repeat that. The Almighty God works with our likes, our wants, and our inclination. That is, what is it that you really want? Take, for example, you are in this audience and you really want to serve God. The Almighty God knows that. The Almighty God will work with you. The Almighty God will make sure you get the right teaching. The Almighty God will give you the encouragement because he knows that what you want. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's what Jesus Christ was talking about. Men and women who really want to live by his will, they get God's assistance. Look at 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 22-23. Quick, brother. Time is running out.
And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.
Wait. I've read this passage dozens of times, but I've never ceased to be fascinated over it because the passage helps me to understand God, the God that we are trying to serve better. I want you to listen to the passage. And this was about Ahab. Almost everyone here heard about Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab was the king, Jezebel was his wife, wicked as they come. So, let us hear it. I start again at verse 22.
And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth.
Brother, step up to 19. Let me see if that will give us context.
And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said,
yes, listen now. The Lord said,
who shall persuade Ahab?
Who shall persuade Ahab?
That he may go up.
Listen, I want you to listen. That he may go up to
and fall at Ramoth Gilead.
That he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead. Wait, God did not want King Ahab to go up to Ramoth Gilead. The Almighty God had previously made that well known to Ahab. But watch here, watch here. Ahab was bent that at all costs he wanted to go up Ramoth Gilead. But man, God had told you, you must not go up there and fight against Israel, etc. But Ahab, stubborn, headstrong, want to go up to Ramoth Gilead. So what he said there, in the last part of verse 20, brother?
And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner.
First, God had said, who will persuade Ahab for me? Brother Mitchell, what does that mean? Who will make sure that Ahab end up at Ramoth Gilead? But Brother Mitchell, God doesn't want him to go up to Ramoth Gilead. Yes, but Ahab, like many of us, going to be stubborn. Ahab, like many of us, going to have our own way. So the Almighty God wanted to make sure now, Ahab, you are bent and going against my will. You are bent and going up to Ramoth Gilead. Why did God not want Ahab to go up to Ramoth Gilead? The Almighty God knew that he's going to die there if he goes. He's going to be killed if he goes. God was trying to save his life. Read, brother.
And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him.
I will persuade him.
And the Lord said unto him,
the Lord said to the spirit,
wherewith?
How are you going to persuade Ahab to go up to Ramoth Gilead?
And he said,
I
will go forth.
I will go forth.
And I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.
What, brother?
I will be a lying spirit.
What type of spirit?
A lying spirit.
A lying spirit in the mouth of all his
prophets.
Prophet. Brother Mitchell, is God going to use lying spirit? Yes. But isn't that sinful? When any human being participate or engage in or tell any form of lie or deception, it is sinful. The Almighty God has the right to employ anything that accomplishes God's will. Let me put that another way. The sovereignty of God and the godness of God makes it that whatever pleases God, whatever accomplishes God's will is right. You can throw on that, and if you want to come back at the service 6 o'clock this evening, you'll be permitted to ask question on that. Whatever pleases God, it is right. Whatever accomplishes God's will, it is right, because he is God. So read, brother.
And he said, thou shalt persuade him.
The spirit says, I will be a lying spirit
in the mouth of all his prophets.
Chad, the devil is putting a lot of lying spirit of many preachers today. Are we all there? There are men who claim they are preaching, but they are not telling what is revealing the gospel of Christ. And men and women are too busy with worldly things. They cannot spend a little time with God's word. They are too busy with material things. That's right. Satan is putting lying spirit in the mouth, in the mind of so many today. When the lying spirit says, I am going to be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophet, and he have had dozens of lying prophet. What God said to the spirit?
Thou shalt persuade him.
Thou shalt persuade him.
And prevail also.
And you will prevail also.
Go forth and do so.
You get the job. All those who apply for the job that I want done, you are the person who is qualified. God says, go and succeed. What verse is that?
End of 22.
End of?
Verse 22.
22? Let me hear 23.
Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets.
You're sure you get that right? Mm-hmm. Who did it?
The Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all thy prophets.
Chad, in a few minutes the lesson will finish, but I want to make sure people get this. Let us hear that again.
Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets.
That's not a mistranslation. What that passage. You see, brothers and sisters, let's say the Almighty God tells you to do a particular thing, and God makes it plain. But you don't like it. You want to do something else. And the Almighty God sent lessons and messages to help you to know. Take baptism. Are we all there? The Almighty God tells us that men and women must be baptized in order to be saved. That is not man's will, that is God's will. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. But let's say you have been convinced that little sprinkling will do the job. But the Almighty God sent other people to let you understand that baptism is what God wants. But you are bent and submitting yourself to being sprinkled. Ladies and gentlemen, the Almighty God will make it that if God sees that you are bent and submitting yourself to sprinkling, God will make it that you believe in the sprinkling so much that nobody can convince you otherwise. That's what the Bible calls strong delusion. Strong delusion. And that comes out even in our prayers. Read that again, brother, the last time. I believe that was verse 23.
Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord had spoken evil concerning thee. End of verse 23.
So the Lord will use lying spirit if God sees that what you or I are bent in having. If you didn't know that before, then when you come to the Church of Christ, you learn truth that you need to know. You need to understand the God with whom we have to do. He's a righteous God. He's a holy God. And what we must realize that even in our prayers, for example, if I inform you today that God doesn't hear the prayer of sinners, you are going to convince me how many times God listened to and responded to your prayer. Well, when you go home, read the book of 3 Peter, verse 12, and St. John, chapter 9, verse 31, or is it 9:29? We're going to close. I close with these points. These situations that we have just looked at, Ahab, bent on having his own way, contrary to the instruction given by God. Men and women who want to resist the will of God for their own will. Prayer does not affect or change these situations when God working with human beings, as against God's working with things. Because you have human will, inclination, and likes, you can put your will against the will of God, or you can submit your will to God's will and do what God says. God will not compel or forcibly make anyone good, nice, religious, or obedient. God will never force any man or woman to become a Christian. But do you know the opposite of that? When the Almighty God sees that you want to, your desire to serve God, to submit your life to Him, the Almighty God will give you the encouragement. And He will give you the strength. If you are here this morning, having wanted to serve God, submit to His will, then you have come to the right place. And you have come to listen to a lesson where at least you understand a little more about God. That the Almighty God will not forcibly turn you into a Christian. You must willingly want to submit to the will of Jesus Christ, and then you will get God's encouragement. There are some things that prayer does not affect. You can submit to Christ's will today by believing in Jesus Christ. Brother Mitchell, what must I believe about Christ? That the Christ of the Bible, you must believe that He was and He is the Son of God. Jesus Christ went to Calvary as your Lord, as your Savior. Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross to bring you and to bring me forgiveness. What must you do to get that forgiveness? You must not only believe, you must repent of your sin. What is repentance? It is to make a decision to turn from your ungodliness, your sinfulness, your disobedience, and to turn to Jesus Christ in obedience. Are you a Christian when you repent? No. You must move on to where you are willing to confess Christ's name. Yes, when I said confess, you thought I was going to say confess your sin. No, if you were asked to confess your sin, you wouldn't remember all of them. What you need to confess is the name of Jesus Christ. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? You must be baptized for the removal of sin. That's why the Bible speaks about being born of the water and of the Spirit. And right at this moment, not only are we here to help you, Jesus Christ is ready right now to forgive you. If you will step forward, the singing of this song, to give your life to Christ, Jesus Christ is ready. In and through your obedience, Christ is ready to welcome you as a part of His family. As we stand, Jesus Christ calls.